I hope that everyone is sophisticated enough to be able to handle two sheets that are not stapled.
My hope is that this can work. We are working out Shmuel's age. Was our issue here with the 20 years. Someone had emailed me, someone who listens to the share online, and asked me, essentially, does it matter? Yeah, whether he lives to be 52 or lives to be older. And I think the answer is it does, for a few reasons. Number one, because everything we're learning here is Torah, and that, you know, in order to actually get it right, you know, you have to work at it. Number two, maybe I shouldn't put this in priority order, but he was a human being. You know, this is an element of his life. How long did he live? Third, it raises philosophical questions. One of Abarbanel's objections, we'll see this, to the idea that he only lived to be 52 is you don't find righteous people in Tanakh live that short a lifespan. And so what is that meant to teach me, either about Shmuel or about how we perceive lifespans in Tanakh? Well, it depends. Did he really live only 52 years, or did he in fact live longer? So I think for that reason it matters. But yeah, the fundamental principle when you're learning Torah, at least to me, has to include that. I don't have any more to give her. That's the way it is. The fundamental learning of Torah has to include an attention to detail and to care about things like this, which at the moment one may not even recognize the relevance of it, but you come back to it later on and you realize, oh, wait a minute, that actually is important. It teaches me this. It raises this question. Information like that, even if right now I don't see the significance, will ultimately lead to something significant if I learn long enough. So it's important to do
why
that.
The Torah did not mention, or the Navi didn't mention how old he was.
Why? It doesn't mention it for most of them.
Okay.
Yeah, when you get to the kings, we get information about the age of the kings when they took office and the age of the king when they died. But in general, we don't have that information. That's frequent. So we know David is 30 when he becomes king, and he reigns for 40 years. But think of all the shoftim. I don't believe we got an age with any of them. So yeah, it just wasn't. Correct.
I think things become important or just on their own, but they in context of other things too. I think that's the interesting thing, is to look at things in the context of other things.
Yeah, I think so. So last time we started the chronology, we noted where all this came from, which was the 20-year question. When were these 20 years that the Aron was in Kiryat Yearim? And we gave three different approaches. Ralbag's approach was that the Aron is there for a total of 20 years, meaning it's 7 months with the Plishtim. Whatever brief time it's with Beit Shemesh, no one counts. We don't know. And then it's in Kiryat Yearim for 20 years until King David moves it out. That was Ralbag, not his own view, but Ralbag quoting the Gemara. It's really the Midrashic view of what happened. And within this view, we don't know when Shmuel held his big gathering and told them to get rid of their idols and all of that. We don't have that information. It's somewhere within the 20-year span. That's all we know. And we know that it has to be within those 20 years because David isn't even king when Shmuel dies. Shmuel has named him as the one who will be king succeeding Shaul. He has anointed him, but Shaul is still alive. David is not yet recognized as king. So we know that Shmuel dies within the 20 years according to the Midrashic count. Ralbag himself takes a different view. He says, no, the Aron is there for 20 years, and the Jews have not done tshuva. The Jews have not repented. And Shmuel holds his big gathering that's meant to lead their reform at the end of the 20 years. That's when he holds his gathering, and then the Aron is there for some period of time thereafter. And then Mitzudat David, who had a compromised position, taking the chronology that Ralbag takes, that The gathering happens at the end of 20 years, and the Aron is going to be in Kiryat Yarim for more than 20 years, but that they've been doing tshuva, they've been repenting all along. It's not as though it took 20 years for them to repent. This is just the height of the repentance. Now that we have completed our process of doing tshuva, you should get rid of all the Avodah Zarah and make your tshuva stick. That's Mitzudat David's compromise approach. Those were the three things that we articulated last time. Is that clear? Okay. The question that Ralbag raises, though, is that how old exactly was Shmuel when he died? The Gemara says, we read it last time, that Shmuel was 52 when he passed away. It's a Gemara in Moikata that we saw, the Gemara in Tanis that we saw talked about Shmuel aging early. Right? Shmuel does not want to see Shaul die in his lifetime, but God says, if I take Shmuel when he is young, then everybody is going to think that he must have been, either he was terrible or that I am very unjust. So what I'll do is, I'll make him look old. I will make him age early, and then he'll die at this young age of 52. So said the Gemara in Tanis. And we had the Medrash and Seder Olam, which said that he's 52 and change. But Ralbag doesn't buy it, and Abarbanel does not buy it. And that brings us to what you see here on the sheet in source number one. I decided not to read you all of that very long Abarbanel that I brought you on the sheet last time, because I feel like reading and translating isn't going to help with the math. So I digested it here in source number one. Also takes up a lot less space.
Even though we got two right. Pages.
Yes, because there's a lot of stuff going on. So, Abarbanel, you'll see why when we get to number four. It's an important point. But Abarbanel says you have four givens that lead to the conclusion that Shmuel dies at the age of 52. Given number one is that Eli judges Israel for 40 years. And that's very clear. That was a verse. We read the verse. So, he has a 40-year period as a shofet. Assumption number two is that when it said Eli was sitting on the chair when Hannah showed up to daven for a child, that was the day he started sitting on that chair, meaning that was the day he became Kohen Gadol. No, not Kohen Gadol, excuse me, Shofet, not Kohen Gadol.
How do we know that's
true? Yeah. So again, we talked about this all originally. I'm not going to reopen the entire Midrash. We talked about this when we first saw the story. But the fact, the basic point was the fact that the text emphasizes that he's sitting on a chair. Like, why did you bother telling me that? Of course, who cares whether he was sitting, standing, or sleeping?
No, but it doesn't mean that he started
sitting. No, but then what does it mean?
He was sitting as a judge.
Then that's what you should have said. The fact that you said he's sitting on it indicates the beginning of it. As I said when we talked about this way, way back, I'm not reopening it. There was more evidence to support the idea. Yes.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. I think there's something quite meaningful that, in the idea that Eli was appointed as the judge on the day because he proved himself. And what I mean by that is you have Hannah who is drunk, and he looks at appearances.
Hang on.
But he makes an arbitrary initial judgment about what kind of state she's in. Mm-hmm. He then speaks to her, gets evidence, and comes to a very different conclusion. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a way of testing and shining his judgment skills, because mm-hmm. a judge is not supposed to presume.
The fact that he was willing to correct himself.
Right. You're supposed to presume, not only presume to be good, but also the presumption of innocence. And he makes a judgment quickly.
Right.
He judges quickly. He judges wrong. He then speaks to the witness. He then evaluates. And I think there's something really
that's
wonderful.
That's nice. So this is the beginning of his career as a chauffeur. It's a very interesting idea. Thank you. So, yeah.
If he's going to be 52, and it's from the day he's appointed as a judge, and he lives for 40 years.
No. You're confusing Eli and Shmuel.
I'm very good at that.
So
if it's from the day she gets pregnant, let's say, or the day she wants a child, okay, she wants a child in year zero.
Yeah.
He lives till he's 52.
Yeah.
Right? That means he's been... No.
Eli judges for 40 years. This is Shmuel.
Right. Eli judges for 40, so he starts at 40. That means that Shmuel...
Who starts at... Wait, no.
If his first year is... year one.
No, who knows? No, then.
How many pronouns?
The first year is Shlomo's in vitro year. Shmuel's in vitro year.
Yes.
Ellie's year one is Shlomo's in vitro year, right?
It's fine.
Whatever.
Let's hear the sentence.
Okay, now, after 40 years, Shmuel
is 39.
Is 30. But how old was 39. Shmuel? Shmuel was a baby when his mother brought him. That
yes.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
Because he would have been on 2 or 3.
Yes, and?
So he would have been 2 or 3 at 40. It doesn't come to 52.
No.
Why does it have to? Hang on.
Then
why does it have to?
Off.
Shh, just let me answer.
Can't do math,
right? No, it's because Eli is the one who judges for 40 years. Shmuel does not. Again.
So there's extra years.
Eli judges Israel for 40 years. Eli is appointed as judge on the day that Hannah davens for a child, which means that Shmuel is born when Eli is in the position already for 1 year.
Right.
Now, that means that Shmuel is 39 years old when Eli dies. Everyone can absorb that. Okay. No, stop that. We didn't get there yet. This is the problem. Math is easy if you do it in order. Shmuel is 39 when Eli dies. That's your first part of your calculation. Your second part of your calculation relies on knowing when the 20 years took place. The 20 years of the Aaron and Kiryat Yarim. If the Aaron is in Kiryat Yarim for 20 years, meaning only 20 years, from beginning of time in Kiryat Yarim to the end of the time in Kiryat Yarim is only a period of 20 years. That only is really important.
That says in the book, right?
No. All the book said was that the Aaron was there for 20 years and Shmuel made his gathering. It does not say only 20 years. That's why I'm trying to really walk us through this. Okay, I'm declaring moratorium. I'm going to speak. I'm going to go through this and then we'll do questions because it's not working otherwise. Again, the Aaron is in Kiryat Yarim for only 20 years within this school of thought. We know that the end of the Aaron's time in Kiryat Yarim is when David moves it to Yerushalayim. At that point, David has already been king for 7 years in Hebron, because David starts his reign for 7 years in Hebron, and then the last 33 years are when he's in Yerushalayim. David is king for 40 years. So, what that means is this. Since I know that Shmuel is already gone, Shmuel dies before David becomes king, according to the Midrash, 4 months before David becomes king, that means that Shmuel is dead 7 years before the Aaron moves, because the Aaron is only moving 7 years into David's reign. Which means, if I'm assuming it was in Kiryat Yarim for 20 years, that means that Shmuel was only alive for 13 of those years. Because the last 7 years is when David's already king. So, if I take the 13 years that the Aaron is there while Shmuel is alive, and the 39 years that preceded it, that takes me to 52. However, okay, there. Well, first of all, take a look at the sheet at number 1, because I gave you, you see where I wrote therefore? Shmuel, therefore, was 39 when Eli died. The Aaron is at the Plishtim for 7 months. Then it's in Kiryat Yarim for 13 years until Shmuel's death, minus 4 months, because Shmuel dies, according to the Midrash, 4 months before Shaul's death. No, before Shaul's death. So that means Shmuel is 52 years, 3 months. What Seder Olam calls Nun Bet Ve'od. 52 years and change. That's all one school of thought. It is a very popular school of thought. But Abarbanel does not agree. Take a look at source number 2, please. Abarbanel makes the following very interesting comment about Seder Olam, and it has huge ramifications. Because Seder Olam is a body of Midrash which is responsible for what we think of as the traditional chronology, not only for Shmuel's lifespan, but for all sorts of events, including the question of how long the temples stood, including all sorts of questions that are associated, a whole problem that we have with the chronology of the Persian kings in Sefer Daniel, all comes back to how to understand Seder Olam and trying to preserve a Seder Olam chronology, which at times seems to be at odds with what historians say. Well, take a look at Abarbanel's line here in source number 2 in introducing his approach. He says, "Ve'al tisma, don't be surprised, b'netosimi divrei seder olam, when I stray from the words of seder olam, ki kvar hisamitz radak la'chish ma she'amru bizman pilegesh b'giva." Yeah, seder olam has the philosophy of pilegesh b'giva, that last story that we saw in Shoftim, that says that, in fact, did not happen at the end of Seder Shoftim, but it happened much earlier in the book. And Radak disagreed. Radak said, no, the story is actually at the end, where it's written in Shoftim. So he says, Radak could disagree with him about Pilegish Begiva, V'Ralbag B'Dvarim Achirim, and Ralbag disagreed with Seder Olam on other points. So he says, get in line, I'm good with that idea. That's the position of Abarbanel. He says, I am not the only one to have a fight with Seder Olam, and therefore I can present a different view on this, on the question of Shmuel's lifespan.
Who wrote the
there is the name of one of the Tanam, I'm forgetting who was associated with part of it. I don't remember who it was,
like,
but it's
before Abarbanel was
the problem with Midrash in general, in terms of dating it, is that Midrash tends to be written down over a period of time, long after the Midrashim themselves were actually stated. So in other words, they're transmitted verbally, and then eventually you find them recorded by somebody, with somebody's name, but that is not the originator of the Midrash, and so it's very hard to know who exactly is responsible for it, and when they were around. The only thing that we can do is we know when the first written edition that we have, the first written record that we have, shows up. So there are bodies of Midrash that are published in the in the 4th or 5th century, but I couldn't tell you whether that's when they were first canonized, and I certainly couldn't tell you when they were actually first taught.
How far before Abarbanel, approximately, this was?
In Seder Olam, about 1,000 years, give or take. Yeah, but that's the challenge when you're dealing with dating Midrash. So Abarbanel has a number of objections. Before we get to source number 3, where he's going to give you his chronology, I'm going to explain his objections. His first objection is regarding the first period of time, meaning the 39 years that you're claiming Shmuel overlaps with Eli, because he says, as Ruth wanted to ask, who says that Yoshev means that's the day when he became the Shofet? It doesn't have to mean that, granted that he knows we have a Midrash that says it. Number 2, he says, maybe it means that's the day he became Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Maybe that's what happened that day. It doesn't have to be that he became the Shofet that day. That's objection number 1. Because if it's true that in fact he only became Kohen Gadol, that he only became Shofet later, then that means that Shmuel is growing, however old he is, before Eli becomes Shofet, and then you have the 40 years of Eli being Shofet. So let's say, for example, let's say Shmuel was born 10 years before Eli became Shofet. That means that Shmuel is 50 when Eli dies.
But then how do you explain that Anna went to Eli?
She didn't go to Eli. She went to the Mishkan.
She
went to the Mishkan.
He saw her.
But he was there as well.
He was sitting.
Yeah, he was the Kohen Gadol. He's the high priest.
So he was going to be there anyway.
Yeah. And keep in mind, sorry.
I would say the only issue is he was considered very old already at that time, so it's unlikely, you know.
Who's Eli,
I'm saying.
But that supports the idea.
You think? Really? That he would last another... Well, actually, 40. It seems like, according to the story, he was like Zaken before Shmuel was born, is what I'm saying to you.
Right, so that I don't know. But he's Zaken before Shmuel's born, I'm not sure of. But he's 98 when he passes away.
Right.
I don't think it says Zaken before Shmuel is born. And I could easily imagine a scenario in which he's Kohen Gadol from the age of 30, or not 30, he's Kohen Gadol from the age of 40. And therefore meets Hannah when he's 40, 45, or whatever it is, and there's another 50 years to go. Who knows? We don't. That's the first doubt that Abarbanel puts into the picture. Ricky.
So when Eli's sons are misbehaving and all that, and he's not paying attention, we said that that Shuem was a young boy around there.
Yeah. They're misbehaving before that, though. The misbehavior doesn't begin when Shmuel's around. Their misbehavior goes back before that.
So that means that that Eli has been on before...
As Kohen Gadol, not necessarily as Shofet.
Right. So it was Kohen Gadol first, then
yeah.
Shofet? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does it tell us when he became Kohen Gadol?
Nope.
No.
No.
Yeah.
It's ambiguous. Barbanel says maybe that's that day for all we know.
Beginning reference.
Yeah, correct.
So with the name on the chair.
Correct.
But does it... Sorry, I was just going to say, do they ever say... for any other Kohen Gadol sitting on the chair or any other prophet sitting on the chair? Like, is that used?
So there is another chair usage that we discussed it at the time when we first did the story, but now I'm not remembering what it was. There was another chair reference with somebody else, I believe. Yeah, but it's not typical, no.
For us, sitting on
the chair. It doesn't mention a chair, just sitting under a palm tree. Yeah.
I imagine Hannah is more likely to give her child to the Kohen Gadol than to the Shofet. Because he wouldn't have time.
Well, he would be bald. When he becomes Shofet, he's still Kohen Gadol.
Yes, but he's not a baby to look after.
That's a general question. But that's number one. Is that period one in his life, the overlap with Eli could be longer. Number two is the second part of his life could be longer. The post-Eli part of his life is not necessarily only 13 years. Because again, everything here is predicated on the Aaron being in Kiryat Yarim for only 20 years. However, if you believe, as Ralbag floated, that the 20 years were the time from when it came to Kiryat Yarim until the time when Shmuel made his assembly, but that's not when David moved it. David moves it years and years later. In that case, Shmuel lives much longer. Let's pretend, for example, the Aron is there for 20 years. Shmuel holds his big ceremony in Kiryat Yarim. And then another 10 years goes by. I'm making up numbers. Another 10 years goes by before David becomes king, and then another 7 years before he moves it, right? So now you have 30 years post-Eli for Shmuel to still be alive. Your markers that you're working with, the assumption that Eli's 40 years as Shofet begin when Hannah davens, and the other end, the idea that it's 20 years until the Aron is moved, neither of those is explicit in any sentence here, and therefore it's up for discussion. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you stop there, then I could look at a Barbanel and say, I hear what you're saying, but I have no reason to challenge it. In other words, I have a midrash that says he became Shofet on the day that Chana came to Davin. So why shouldn't I accept it? I have a pasuk that says the Aaron was there for Kiryat Yarim. I grant you that was there for 20 years. I understand that you could say 20 years then Shmuel's gathering, but there's more time. But I could also say it was in Kiryat Yarim for 20 years on the whole, like the Midrash and Seder Olam thinks. Why is Abarbanel so hooked on challenging this?
Because he was so young. I think that's the issue.
So, well, not so much that he's so young as the question of how could he have been that young when he died? Or was that
was
him?
That he was a young, yeah. He died young. So that's
right. And so that is what Abarbanel turns to next. And he says...
He's trying to disprove it. You're saying.
Well,
like,
yeah,
that's his goal.
Exactly.
And so
what
young.
Really bothers Abarbanel is not that you could challenge this and you could challenge that. It's that he wants to challenge it because he says, first of all, Eli and Shmuel are both described at different points in this story as being Zakein. But Eli is 98. You know, Shmuel, at most, according to you, is 52. That's number one. Number two, he says, if you play this out, and here the chronology gets really confusing, and therefore I decided not to go this route, but I want to mention it. If you play out the chronology, and Abarbanel tries to, Shaul would seem to be older than Shmuel. It has to do with Shaul's son, Ishbosheth. I don't want to go there right now because we haven't even met Ishaul, let alone Ishbosheth. But the problem is that Shaul, who is, according to this, older than Shmuel, is called Bachur Vatov when he's picked. Young man, a good in this sense, meaning physically good young man, even as Shmuel, who is younger than him, is called Zakein. So that's a second problem. And then third, the problem I mentioned before, which is the great people in Tanakh live longer than 70 years. How could he die at the age of 52? It's a difficult thing for him to accept. And yes, we all know wonderful people who have passed away young, but the evidence that this is strange is the Gemara that we saw last week that talked about Karet being at the age of 50. Right? And they didn't want to say, and Shmuel at 52 is Mitzvah Bidei Shemai, right? That tells you that they're, you know, the problem with this. And so Abarbanel says, I don't think you need to read it this way. And he says, I'll give you a different chronology. Take a look at source number 3. Hang on, I want to read number 3 first. Abarbanel says, V'gamani lo emshoch pi v'davar hazeh. He says, I'm not going to hold back on this issue. He says, quoting the pasuk from Tehillim, right? He says, I think Shmuel lived, our years are 70 years. That's the line from Tehillim, from Psalms. Ve'ulai kivai, the rest of that biblical sentence, bigvuros Hashem Elokim, shem shmonim shana. Maybe he even reached the years of the strength of Hashem, 80 years. Maybe he reached his 80s. Im nolad asarash shanim o yoser kodem shnismana eli shofet al Yisrael. This is the part I underlined in the translation. If he was born 10 years or more before Eli was appointed as shofet, the kasher nischabru la'arbaim shana sheshafat, and then you join that with the 40 years that Eli served as shofet, ula esrim shana sheshav ha'aron be'kiryat yarim, and then 20 years that the Aaron is in Kiryat Yarim, which he believes are all in Shmuel's lifespan. So he says, huh, what do you know? That means he's 70 years old. Because you have 10 years, 40 of Eli is 50, 20 years of Kiryat Yarim is 70. And that assumes that Shmuel died in the year that he made this gathering after 20 years. But he goes on to say, and who's to say that? He had more time when Shaul was king, and and therefore you can add years. You could do what you want. The timeline here is malleable. It could be, you know, whatever you want it to be. That's the math. Ricky.
I'm not being facetious here, but
we are in
not this time.
Okay.
We are in this parak here, in the seventh parak.
Yes.
And we still go to number 24.
Yeah.
Hakim, why are we talking about his death now?
because the 20 years is when the question comes up. Okay. It all revolves around this question of when the 20 years are. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm doing it here. If you notice in sources 2 and 3, well, 1, 2, and 3, Abarbanel's comments are actually in the beginning of Perikhet, or in the beginning of chapter 8, where the people are going to come to Shmuel, and he is described as being old. So that's where Abarbanel chooses to make his stand. I moved it back here because I wanted to put it in the context of the 20-year discussion, because I imagined in my head what it would look like if we were to have this whole discussion about when the 20 years are, then go through chapter 7, and then have to remember everything we said about the 20 years. And I said, you know what? There's a phrase, Dayal et Sarah b'shata. It's enough to have a problem at its time. We dealt with it. We hopefully got out of this that could be Shmuel's 52 when he dies. The Gemara says so, and usually that's good enough. But philosophically, we have problems with this idea. And textually, we have problems with this idea in terms of his age versus Shaul's age and the use of the word Zakein. So we have the textual objection as well. And that's what leads Abarbanel to say, you know, you don't have to actually think that he lived to be only 52. He could have been 70, he could have been in his 80s, and it would still work.
How are the 20 years in this period, how are they again?
That it's the 20 years are the period, 20 years are from the time when the Aron is brought to Kiryat Yarim until Shmuel holds his major gathering of the people to reform them.
Right, but how does it tie in with his length of life?
Because if you take the other view, that the 20 years were until the Aaron moved, then Shmuel is only alive for 13 of those 20 years. Yeah. And that puts a cap on how long he could have lived. It's whatever his overlap with Eli is, plus 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Eddie.
I have another take on it.
Okay.
Shmuel
got his first nevuah when he was a nar, a young boy.
Yes.
That was when Eli was old and he was helping him out.
Okay. I'm not sure why you say that. I mean, we know
Eli must have died because he told him that he's going to die. He's going to die and he's still a young boy. He's not 39.
No, he told him he was going to die because of the curse.
Exactly.
But that doesn't tell me anything about his age.
It says he's a nar.
Oh, yeah, Shmuel's age. Yes, Shmuel is a nar.
He can't be 39 okay. or 35 or anything like that until okay. Eli dies.
Okay. I mean, Eli is old at that point, stipulated.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Okay, so?
So that means that after Eli dies, Shmuel is still a young guy.
No, but Eli didn't die just then.
No.
How long after did he die?
We don't know.
Exactly.
No, the answer is we don't know. The answer really is we don't know. Not to mention the word nar does not necessarily mean youth. We've already seen multiple times that the word nar can mean somebody older. Yoshua is described as being a nar when he's in his, I think, his 50s.
Really?
Yes, in Moshe's tent. In his 40s or 50s. Yeah, that's right. You're only as old as you feel, right? He feels like a nar. Okay. Okay, can we put this issue to bed? Because there's a lot more to discuss.
Can I just ask...
As Ricky said.
Yeah. Can also be considered as wise or something like that?
It can be, but with Eli, we're also told that...
No,
he
I was thinking in Shmuel. No, with Shmuel.
Oh, you mean that. Yes. If you had to read it differently, you could say Zakein didn't mean old age or infirm. Zakein meant Zesha Kanach Chachma, that he is wise. But the Gemara itself wasn't comfortable with it and said Hashem made him actually age prematurely. That's the way the Gemara read it. Okay. I'm going to pause the recording here. So this was self-contained, this issue of his age.